Well, kia ora koutou. Thanks very much, everybody, for coming along in the middle of a busy Tuesday. It's been a very busy morning for some of us. And I'd just like to say, first of all, that I'm very pleased with the support of the Māori caucus that came through this morning after I understand Mr. Burrows met with them, and as you know, I met with them as well. And I think we're all on this side of the table over the moon to receive the solid support from the Māori Party for this bill as amended. The purpose of this press conference today is twofold. The first thing is that I'd like to introduce some of the NGOs to you, some of the community organisations that have been working on this kaupapa for years. And to allow that to happen, I'm just going to hand over to Murray in a minute. And the second, Lynn Pillay from the Labor Party, who chaired the Select Committee on this bill, is also going to have a few words. And as you will have already seen, we've shared the response of the Law Commission to the opinion of Peter McKenzie that Gordon Copeland put out just over a week ago. And so there's a couple of things around that we'd like to share with you today. But first of all, I'd like to hand over to Murray Ettridge, who's the CEO of Barnardo's.
Good afternoon, and thank you for being here. The NGOs are here today to support the appeal of Section 59. If I could introduce my colleagues, Dennis McKinley from UNICEF, Deborah Morris-Travers from Every Child Counts, Kay Crowther from Plunkett, Beth Wood from EPOC, and John Burrows from Save the Children. Now, you might ask why the NGOs come in together in such a concerted way to support the appeal of this legislation. It's because that every day we're out there working with children and with families, and we understand some of the issues that are confronting families today. And we've seen such significant levels of violence in our community, it's time we did something about it. To the point now where our politicians have the opportunity to show some courage in this area and to repeal this legislation tomorrow. Yes, amendment legislation. I mean, we've got an amendment come through from the Select Committee, which doesn't indicate full repeal, but it does give added protection to our children, and it's the start of the process. Now, we're not asking for anything dramatic here. What we're asking for is children to have exactly the same rights and security and protection that we enjoy as adults. And that shouldn't be a hard ask for us as a society. This is about starting to move the tide of violence in our community and the opportunity to treat our kids well and to give them the best start in life. This is exactly what we're here to be advocating for. Now, this is a momentous point in our history as a country. We have the opportunity to do something very significant. I'm just going to ask each of my colleagues to make comments about specific aspects of the repeal legislation that are particularly pertinent. So I'll call on Deborah.
Thanks, Murray. I think it's really important to note that successive governments have invested in programs to educate the public about the alternatives to physical punishment. Indeed, in the late 90s, the national government had a program through Child, Youth and Family that encouraged parents to move away from a reliance on hitting children. And it's really important for us now to bring the law into line with those public education programs so that there's a consistent message in law and in the government-sponsored programs and in the community efforts. And many of the organisations here are out there working actively to educate parents about that, how they can positively parent their children. So it's time for the law to be brought into line, to be consistent with those programs, and for there to be very clear communication about what any law change would mean. It's vital that all of this confusion around the suggestion that parents would be criminalised is dealt with, and that we have a very clear message to the public about what the law change means. In conjunction with that clear communication, we require an increased investment in positive parenting education programs. Those two things together will support cultural change over time. That is a point that's been made repeatedly by officials in cabinet papers that have gone to ministers over many, many years. So we need bold leadership from members of parliament now. Previous parliaments have not had the leadership in place to achieve this law change. The time has come, and we are hoping that in the next couple of weeks this outdated law will be repealed.
There's a lot of concern about the criminalisation, and really that's been the main objection to the amendment and that's before Parliament. There are guidelines that were put out by the Solicitor General, which would apply to prosecutions, and we would expect that they would protect parents, that the police are not going to be prosecuting trivial cases. The police have other options to them, such as giving warnings, and that would be sufficient in most cases if indeed the police were even involved. So this big bogey, really, that's been out there, we think is not a concern, and the guidelines to police, judges have the power to dismiss trivial cases, and this is the way it would be dealt with in practice.
Kia ora. Plunkett has been working on a program towards reducing violence within families for over 10 years. We have been actively working to make sure that our families are safe in our communities, and parents have good options about how to keep children safe. So it's not a matter of something that Plunkett has just decided to support. This is something we have been working to as an organisation for over 10 years. Our staff are out there working with young families and parents, and they know what the needs of those young families and parents are. So we've been taking very seriously about where New Zealand has been going and the culture of violence that has become part of what we are, as a society, are accepting as a norm. And we see that along with good education and programs to support, and I emphasise that education has to be around the bill and the implications of this to our young families, that this is the first step on improving things for our young families out there.
Sure. Okay. I mean, if I can just sum up from the NGO perspective, that there's a number of issues here. This bill is about children, it's not about adults, it's not about police, it's about children. The amendment as it currently sits before the House gives increased legal protection to children, and we don't believe there's going to be criminalisation of parents. It's been talked about for a long time, but the police have protocols and guidelines, the state agencies have protocols and guidelines, and we believe that it will guide sensible behaviour. I'll ask Sue to make some comments.
Oh, thanks, Murray. First, just Lynn Play from Labour.
As Chair of the Select Committee, I'd firstly like to acknowledge all the people who gave submissions. We heard hundreds of submissions at that committee, and many people told very sad stories. The amendment, and also to thank the Law Commission for their assistance, the amendment was actually recommended to give assurance to parents who, whilst there wasn't actually much fact in it, it was widely and deeply felt that they would be criminalised if the state appeal came in. So it was a more pragmatic approach to it. And we see it as balancing the needs or the rights of parents, but also ensuring that our children are safe and free from violence. The way that I like to put it, it is not about introducing a prosecution. It is about getting rid of a defence that has seen, whilst not great numbers, some of our children really badly beaten with no protection. And it's really important that we, as parliamentarians and all the groups and as educators, do what we, as much as we can jointly to prevent that happening in the future. I just want to thank all the organisations who have got behind us, who have got behind, as other speakers have said, all the education. And it's that education that has brought about quite a bit of mind shift. And we believe that with the change in the legislation, it will reinforce and assist rather than prosecute or render parents liable to prosecution.
Thanks, Lynn. I realise you guys will be wanting to go in a minute, but just to draw your attention to the opinion from Sir Geoffrey Palmer that has just come out. This is a response to the opinion that Gordon Copeland distributed just over a week ago from Peter McKenzie. Sir Geoffrey Palmer makes it clear, in his opinion, it is extremely unlikely that police would ever prosecute or a jury ever convict any parent who placed their child in a time-out mat or put them into a room for time-out. And that these amendments do not expose parents for the risk of, to the risk of prosecution in those kind of circumstances. So for those of you who are interested in these technicalities, please feel free to read Sir Geoffrey's opinion. On that, I'd just like to say also that MPs like Gordon Copeland and Chester Burrows have been going around, and in Gordon Copeland's case in the House, basically implying and in some cases saying that the Law Commission endorses Chester Burrows' amendment. Now, that is not the case. The Law Commission cannot take a political stand like that, and has not. They do not endorse or support the Burrows' amendment.
Your bill is now... Do you consider with what the Māori Party said today that that your bill is now a certainty to pass?
As long as MPs who have so far given their position as opposing the Burrows Amendment, yes, we will get the bill through. But I think it's the Burrows Amendment is still going to be the critical phase during the committee stages. I believe we definitely have adequate support for the third reading, because the National Party, there's at least four of their MPs who I believe will support the bill at third reading. But they are being whipped to vote for the Chester Burrows Amendment because he is their colleague. And so that's why this bill is most vulnerable at the point of the vote on the National Party amendment. But with the Māori Party support at this stage, I believe that we have 63 votes to 58, which does give us enough.
Sir Geoffrey's letter does say, though, so that it's impossible to provide blanket reassurance that prosecution will never be appropriate.
That's right, and that's because any case has to be looked at on the facts. Now, for example, if we're talking about the case of time out, if a parent took a child into a room for time out and inflicted extreme violence and injury on that child while doing it, that's why one can't say that there's some blanket protection, because if it depends on what degree of assault or violence takes place, and it's only a police investigation and a court prosecution that can ever determine the facts of a matter. That's why you can never give a blanket assurance on things like that.
Just add that that's actually the situation as it is now. Every child, it would be under Chester Burrows and everything. Every parent that takes their child away a day early on holiday when school's sitting is technically breaking the law. But are they prosecuted for doing so? Of course not. Common sense prevails.
Under the current law, that if a carer took a child and put it in a room because it was misbehaving, under the law that's kidnapping. Mm. But they're not prosecuted for kidnapping under the current law. So these are red herrings really that are being discussed around that there would be prosecutions if this amendment goes through.
There is a lot of confusion though, isn't there? Essentially the bill does outlaw something like snacking, and surely can understand why parents feel that criminalises them.
Smacking is actually technically already outlawed.
But you have a defence.
But there's a defence.
So it isn't, because you have a defence.
Everyone here on this is our goal is to remove the defence of reasonable force for the purposes of correction, and that's what this bill as amended does very clearly. And in fact, as the amendments in the Select Committee have strengthened my original bill, because it's also removed the common law defence, which I hadn't picked up when we did the drafting. So the bill is going back to the House is actually stronger than the one I originally put into the ballot.
Have you had an assurance from those four National MPs that they would continue to support your bill as is, given that Chester's amendment might come through rather than an amended version? I know they didn't have their support at the start, but have you been in contact with them?
Not in the last few hours.
No, sure.
But so far, to the best of my knowledge, they're still with it.
So how does it feel then for you? I mean, as you say, you said this bill is even stronger now than what you originally proposed. I mean, this is a massive social change. How do you feel about being at the helm of this and not worse for victory, I guess?
Well, we're not having our celebration yet. We've got two more critical votes to get to through before we celebrate, but you'll be welcome to come to the party when we get that far. Yes, it's certainly been a big step forward today to have the support pledged from the four Māori Party MPs. That was absolutely critical. We also have, of course, the issue of the amendment from Judy Turner, who's putting up an amendment to have a referendum on this, which we also, of course, oppose.
Yeah, I think we need to be clear that victory is not the passing of this legislation.
No.
Victory is when we stop seeing violence against kids in New Zealand, which is a phase in the process. And this is about making sure our legislation is consistent right across government and right across the activities the government are doing and the community is doing to try and protect kids.
Would you agree, though, that the Faroes Amendment is largely in line with your public opinion as stands, even though it's an awfully crude amendment that sort of spells out for some sort of violence? But isn't he just reflective of what where society is at the moment, that it's like a tactic is?
I think what you indicated when you said it was a crude amendment is probably right.
Yeah.
I mean, as community agencies that work with kids, there's no way we can accept an amendment that defines how you might hit your children and the amount of damage you might inflict, because that's completely abhorrent and should be to every member of the public.
And if you read the editorials in the main papers in the last week, the public opinion is getting very much behind the amendment, Sue's amendment.
And can I say, I mean, listening to the talk back, sure, or some of the polls that are reported out there, but when I'm out in my community, we've had tremendous support.
You must have had an awful lot of opposition voices.
We've had both, and actually, that's why I commend every individual MP or party who has said, well, this is what we think is appropriate and correct, this is going to support our children and not criminalise parents, and we're going to have the courage to go forward and do that. My cynicism is around parties who whip their vote against some of their own members' views in a position that validates and prescribes how to hit our children.
No, we didn't.
Labor came to a consensus within our caucus on that, and I'm really proud of our members that we came to that view.
Why didn't you just allow it to be a conscience vote, Mel?
It was a caucus decision that was the way that we were going forward, and I'm really proud. It's quite a different situation.
So there were no members of the Labour Party who did
the Labour Party caucus.
Within our caucus, we had, as we always do, a very broad debate, and we came to a consensus on it.
So that suggests that there was some whipping into shape. If there was a debate, then there were obviously opposing views, and some people were brought around to the other view.
No, it doesn't suggest it was whipped into shape. It suggests that, as I said, there was a broad debate on it, and we came to a consensus.
But if you had a conscience vote, it's a far more transparent way of letting each MP stand up and vote in accordance with the
conscience. Was necessary
we felt it was necessary because we, as a party, wanted to take a stand against violence against children in this country. And we're very proud that we've done that.
But the consensus has been established right through to the third reading. Is that going to be another discussion ahead of that?
No, our position is right through to the third reading.
But it's accepted that this is a contentious issue, mm-hmm. and there are views in our community that oppose this legislative change. But it's about saying what works in the best interest of our children. That's where we need to keep coming back to this. Mm-hmm. This isn't about us as adults, this is about kids. What are we doing?
Can I please?
About 121 adults getting the bill through at the moment, I think it's what.
Can I just say that as an organisation that's tagged as a mainstream organisation who incidentally celebrates 100 years working with families in communities this year, we've taken this particular bill to our conference floor twice in the last 5 years. And the first time, it didn't go through. The second time, it went through almost unanimously. And that's about education. That was about us working with our parents. We see 92% of families in New Zealand. We're represented in all 18 areas around New Zealand by represent families. And that's what they were telling us. They saw time for change. We're listening to the families out there and the families of our young children. And they saw it was time for a change. So this is about a mainstream organisation that, I guess if I asked you, you were all Plunkett babies, or a lot of you were, and this is what we see as the best for the future of our kids. If we're serious about the outcomes for our kids, we have to support this into the future.
But those families probably aren't the ones that are abusing their kids anyway.
I don't think you can say that.
If you look at the rate of infanticide in New Zealand and severe violence against children, it is a very, very small minority of parents who are doing that. So the majority of parents are resentful about this legislation because they feel that you're telling them how to discipline their children when they wouldn't even think of rational intervention.
I'm sorry, I don't accept that because, as I've just said before, we represent and we see 92%. Our families are telling us members of our organisation, and as a community owned and driven organisation, are telling us that it was time for a change. That's why they voted to repeal Section 59 before Sue's bill was even pulled.
So they were going to change their behaviour before this legislation, so this legislation isn't impacting on parents that don't want to hit their kids.
No.
Anyway.
Which goes back to the original intent of the legislation, was to remove that defence of children, of parents who do belt their kids with riding whips and blocks of wood. That is what the legislation's about. That's what we're wanting to change.
But you can't change the psyche of a parent that goes to that extreme.
Could I just say that we've had many paediatricians talk to the Select Committee and contact us as well. They deal with battered, injured and murdered kids all the time in this country, and they are saying, please pass this bill. There are many, many kids that are battered that none of us ever hear about, not even the media.
What they are saying is that most of those kids are hurt
or killed in the name of discipline. It's on a spectrum, and parents go from the light occasional smack to the through to killing James Whakararu in the name of toilet training. And that's a sad reality of our country.
And what's important about this law change is that for those, for the hard end, for those parents who may be using serious levels of violence against their children, is that we would be removing the defence so that those parents don't have that defence, and that's very important to provide children this protection in law. I actually think, as a new parent myself, that there is a generation of parents coming up who want to find a better way to parent their children, who want to have a less violent society, and removing the use of physical punishment is a really important step in teaching children that there are better ways to solve problems and not always resolving to going to the use of physical punishment. There's a huge body now of evidence internationally that shows physical punishment causes harm to children. Even minor physical punishment, depending on the child and the circumstance, can cause harm. And it's time for us to recognise that, acknowledge that evidence, and start to address a very serious issue in our society.
So just in terms of time, do you expect to get through all of the committee stages today, and then will it come up again in a fortnight for third reading? I mean, what's your understanding?
We'd love to get through all the committee stages tomorrow night, but honestly don't know. It will start around 4:15 or 4:30 tomorrow, but it depends on how the House goes, and it could well go into the next private members' day for the committee stages, which means yet another sitting for the third reading.
Okay, so it could potentially be a multiple stage until we get
third reading. Yep. Oh, thanks very much, everyone. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.